Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Kezzor's family production. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside Kezzor's Inc. So what does KezCM do? You know how many business leaders need help communicating their story? Well, that's what we do. Content creation and distribution for business leaders. This provides opportunities, relationships, and a platform for you and your business. Why do we do this? Because at KezCM, we exist to help business leaders build a meaningful legacy that is worth living and leaving. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. In this episode, we discuss startups, hustle, and laundry. Win all in, play my cards right. Our guest today is Dan D'Acquisto, co-founder of 2U Laundry. Dan and his friend Alex started 2U Laundry in a classroom at Wake Forest University. Originally from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Dan moved to Charlotte to launch this startup. 2U Laundry is the new way to do laundry and dry cleaning. It helps people make time for what matters most in their lives. Currently, you can find 2U Laundry in Charlotte and Atlanta with plans on expanding to different cities. Dan's real-life examples of hard work were on full display in our chat. His actions prove he truly wants to succeed and build an amazing company. And with so much to talk about, let's get right into this episode and welcome Dan D'Acquisto. So Dan, I have to know, did you do your own laundry as a kid?
I actually did. My mom taught me at a really, really early age of about 9. I mean, I was watching her. She was a creature of habit. She would do all of our household chores on Sunday. And obviously I was home on Sunday as a kid, and that was something I kind of naturally gravitated towards. I was oddly into the clothes that I was wearing as a kid, and it was something I was just naturally interested in. And my mom wanted to teach us, again, at a young age, responsibilities and chores. And that was one of the things I decided to help out with on Sundays. So, oddly enough, I got into laundry at a really early age.
Yeah, that's a good son right there, doing your chores and getting it done. But you probably saw that you needed to probably expedite this process. Was there any vision at that age that, like, wait a second, maybe I can speed this thing up or make it easier on my mom and myself going forward? Or is this something that just came about later?
Yeah, the funny thing is I'd be lying if I said yes. There was one time when our dryer broke and we had to close in the wash. And we were in Minnesota. That's where I grew up. And it was fall. It was windy outside. It was a little bit chillier. And I asked to myself, like, why aren't we just hanging these clothes outside? And I never knew what a clothesline was. And we had one in our backyard, and I never really asked questions about it, but ended up realizing that go hang clothes outside and let them air dry. And it was just as fast as putting them in the dryer that was happened to be broken at the time. So that was something that came to fruition pretty quickly. But outside of that, I can't say I was looking to solve the laundry problem at that early age.
But you experienced it, right? You experienced what it's like to do laundry, what the time it takes. You experienced when something breaks. It's funny, we were actually communicating probably a month and a half ago, our dryer at our house broke. I mean, we have 3 kids, so we got laundry going just all the time, and the thing broke. So what are you going to do? You're not hanging it outside. I think I'd get kicked out of the neighborhood if I did that. And so I like reached out to you and I said, you know, we're coming back. You know, we definitely use 2U Laundry for different reasons. And, you know, one of the reasons is if something breaks, I mean, there's just different times you need to get it done. And it was there. So I think you have to experience, like you said, doing the process. Yep. Or experience, you know, what happens when the thing that you probably take for granted doesn't work anymore. And that's laundry. Yep. So looking at that, you have a great story of how this kind of came to be. The idea of 2U Laundry, what is that story? When did that come to be?
Yeah, great question. So I can't necessarily take credit. My co-founder who is in business with me, his name is Alex Merzniak. Him and I actually have a really interesting story. We've been best friends since sixth grade. We grew up in a small town outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in a hockey town. He was a basketball player. I was a hockey player, but somehow we decided to be friends. And we've been friends ever since. And now he's my brother. He's my mentor, my business partner, et cetera, et cetera. So we're in business together now. He actually went to school at Wake Forest University, where he got introduced to the laundry world, where he was in an entrepreneurship class. And the teacher told the students one day, here, take $40 and go try and start a business. And at the end of the semester, we're going to talk about how much money everybody made or if it was a viable business, et cetera. And all these other people were trying to go in and do homework for other students or resell books. And Alex and one of his friends started laundry. And the funny thing is, laundry was actually included in tuition at Wake Forest, but they started to convince these parents and these students that the students should spend more time, quote unquote, studying than doing laundry. And that's kind of where it all started. It ended up growing significantly year over year as he started taking more ownership. And instead of being a true college kid and having fun, he was really, really focused on school and building a laundry business. And he ended up actually selling that laundry business to some incoming students after actually being a finalist on Shark Tank his senior year at Wake Forest for about a 10x return on his initial investment, and as a 21-year-old, almost making $150,000 in laundry. And really all they were doing was picking up kids' dirty clothes outside their dorm room door, cleaning them on campus in the washers and dryers, and bringing them back within a day or two, perfectly folded, and kids and parents absolutely loved it. So it's kind of like market validation. And his whole hypothesis was to eventually take it and basically rinse and repeat the model, no pun intended, with college campuses. But originally, they found out pretty quickly that colleges are just so hard to break into. There's a lot of security measures happening at the time, a lot of red tape to break down. It just wasn't a quick sales cycle. So his business partners wanted to sell. They ended up selling and kind of dispersing out to do their big boy jobs. And long story short, Alex ended up in Charlotte, North Carolina, which was a natural extension from Wake. He was a financial consultant for Ernst & Young. I was working at startups in Minneapolis at the time doing sales and marketing. And again, Alex and I are best friends. We were talking constantly about the laundry space and what he did in college and where this whole industry is going. I mean, we were having probably a little bit more mature conversations than we should have been having at the ages of 21 and 22. And that's when we started talking about getting into business together. And I was getting complacent in my career. And frankly, I wanted to get out of Minneapolis. It was getting cold and I wanted to experience something new at a young age. So the funniest part about the whole thing was all of our best friends visited Alex in Charlotte for a little boys' weekend. We had fun and we were there for about a week. Once we all went back to our homes, literally 2 weeks later, I called Alex and I said, "Hey, we're doing this. We're starting a business together. I'm going to quit my job. I broke up with my girlfriend. I broke the lease in my house. I grabbed another one of my best friends in Minneapolis," and we literally packed our two cars with everything we could fit in it. And we drove 20 hours straight to Charlotte, no plans in place, just with the mindset that we were going to be starting a business together. And that's really what happened. And that was kind of like the seed to the story before it all got to where we are today.
Man, I absolutely love that story. I mean, just picturing you guys packing up your car, whatever you can fit, and just driving straight through right from Minneapolis down to Charlotte. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. I mean, there's a couple of things that I can pull out of it is one is you mentioned time being the resource. You guys are selling time. I mean, that's it, right? Because you saw that these students at Wake Forest, a tough school, the kids need to study. They're obviously into their education. It's like, you need to spend your time doing these things. Don't do this. We'll do it for you and you pay us. And they're like, okay, that sounds like a pretty good deal. And I guess proof of concept comes from there. Like you said, the clothes were folded. Everything was perfect. Like, well, I'm just going to keep doing this. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting is it's a simple school project, right? You go home, you do your work, you hand it in, and then you move on to the next thing. And you really don't think about it. But what you don't realize is you just don't know what could happen if you get yourself involved in something and you give it a chance and just showing up. We always talk about it, our office here, and you've been here before. One of the main, and just any office, right? Pick any office around this country. One of the main reasons I come to work every single day is I do not know what's going to happen that day. And if we can surround ourselves with smart people and good people and energetic people, you don't know what that next thing is going to be. It could be a huge idea. It could be something simple. It could be a process. There's so much going on, and him showing up to class, taking this assignment, taking it seriously and going out there and making it happen. And now look at you guys, and you have this amazing story to tell, and it's why you're on this podcast and you're going to be on a lot more of these things. So it's fascinating for sure.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with a few things there. And it's really about how open-minded the individual is. Like you said, it's not just a closed project, get it done, get an A and go. Whether you kind of layer that on top of any sort of idea or thought, whether it's a school project or a hobby or even an idea of somebody wanting to be in business. And I say this all the time. A lot of people ask, like, what's like a key to success? And it is really being like curious. Like, you have to be curious as an individual and wanting to solve a problem. We're in a business. It's a non-sexy business. We're not building Uber. We're not building Postmates. I mean, we are literally solving a problem to a very traditional chore and making it an incredible customer experience. And the biggest thing I can say is you mentioned it. It's why you go into an office and it's why you hire the people you hire. It's because you want to surround yourself with really incredibly smart people who have the same mindset as you as solving problems, working hard, being curious, being obsessed with learning. And if you put those minds together, it's really, really interesting to see what can come out the other end. And obviously, there's a lot that goes into that as far as being structured and organized and knowing what to work on and failing and succeeding and solving problems, et cetera. But it boils down to having the right people around you and making sure that you guys are working on the right things. And I think that's really what kind of happened with TU Laundry. And honestly, I think we'd be in the same position whether we were doing grocery shopping or dog walking, et cetera. But it happened to be laundry because that's what we had some experience with. And it's a very time-consuming problem, and in the world we saw was getting busier, and these companies that were blowing up were solving a core problem around making people's lives easier.
That's it. I mean, you said it. I mean, you have to find what the pain is. And so often, you know, you see it in sales, you see it in a lot of different businesses. They don't understand what it is that you're solving. But this is a core issue. This is something that people are dealing with, that I'm dealing with at our house, right? There's just so many things you have to do and get done. And it's like, who can help me solve these problems? And am I willing to pay for it? And that's it. You know, kind of looking through all that, we've talked about. So you get down to Charlotte, you have this grand idea. Off you go, the true entrepreneur. I mean, it doesn't get more entrepreneurial than that, just hopping in your car. But then you got to see, like you said, you talked about successes and failures, and there's a lot more failures probably along the way than successes at first. When did you kind of realize that, wait a second, this 2U Laundry, like, you know, you're into it and like you believe in it and you're bleeding it and all that kind of stuff. But when did you think that this was sustainable, that this is going to last?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think it's a lot of people. It's like that tipping point and find it. Understanding. And the biggest thing, another thing that I always tell people is like, you have to go all in. Like, you just can't dabble in it. You can't be 50%. It's like the same thing in sports. Like, if you get 50%, you're going to get 50% what you put out of it. And you need to give it 100, 110%. And that's what Alex and I did. We quit our big boy jobs. We were making significant money and we just went all in. And we wanted to make sure that if we were going to fail, we were going to fail fast and fail hard. And we were ready for it, but we wanted to push through and break down these barriers. And it was really interesting. I mean, we built a website. We didn't spend all this time on building a product. We literally just got like a MVP website, minimum viable product website that could take payments. It was somewhat pretty with our logo and designs and copy, et cetera. And we really just wanted to get that out in the market. And I actually, the funniest part about the whole story in getting our first customer was all I did was I found out what Nextdoor was. And I don't know if you're familiar with what it is, but it's taking off like crazy. And yeah. I posted our website link on Nextdoor and I just said, hey, like, I just love feedback. I just wanted to get feedback. Is there any grammar errors? Does anybody have questions about the service? And customers started signing up and we were not ready for them. And this is the behind the scenes stuff. Like, we didn't have any bags ready. We didn't even have a place to clean the clothes. We were literally just trying to get feedback on the website. And long story short there, I mean, people started signing up and we just started iterating the website and going out and spreading the word as much as we could. We didn't have money to put into it to go blast it on Facebook or Instagram ads or Google, et cetera. We just went to every apartment community. We went to every networking event we could, and we were handing out cards that we got online. And it kind of just started from there. And about 4 months into the business, a mom actually called me. You could hear the kid crying in the background. And she's like, hey, I just ran across your website. I just need to ask, like, is this true? Like, do you guys actually do this service? Like, you will come pick up my clothes, clean them, bring them back perfectly folded the next day. And you can tell she was almost in tears. And that's when we really, that's when we really found out, like, this is a problem and we're solving a problem. And it may be for a niche market. And what we found out was it's not necessarily a niche market. And that mom signed up. She happened to be an avid user of a Facebook mom group. She posted about her experience in her Facebook mom group, and it just started taking off like crazy. The engagement, the word of mouth, the signups we were getting, it really took our business from, let's call it 10 to 100 really quickly. And it was an exciting time. And that's when we really started saying, wow, we need to keep moving here. And at that time, I mean, Alex and I were waking up at 5 a.m. We were driving Uber. We were living three guys in one queen bedroom with mattresses on the floor. I mean, we were doing it, and that's when we really realized like we have to go all in, that we have something here, and we got to start moving fast because the demand is there, and the last thing we want to do is tell people we can't handle it.
Right. I mean, you're like you said, you're pushing through this wall, and it's always interesting because you see people that have a really strong belief in it, but they don't see that this thing can last, that this thing is sustainable, but they just have this belief. So you really have to make a decision at that point. Like, do we continue to push this wall or do we give up and move on to the next thing? And that's a tough thing to tackle. And you said it. I mean, it just takes one person to then give you that belief. I've always said it. Like like on our marketing business, for example, no one's going to pay attention at the beginning, but all you need is one person to pay. I don't even care. It probably shouldn't be your mom or your aunt or someone like that, but just find one person that truly believes in what you're doing. And then maybe you get to that second person and third person, and it's no different in your business, right? As soon as someone sees it and then they notice it and they tell other people and off you go. And no, I think that's, I mean, yep. Just full of a lot of different stories. I have to wonder, so your business partner goes to Wake Forest and you hear a lot about this in entrepreneurialism, right? You hear about, you know, you go to a college and you work at, he's a perfect example. He goes and works at Ernst & Young. Was there pressure? Was there expectations put on him or you or both of you that you need to go work at an Ernst & Young? You're going to go work at Accenture or one of these, or Bank of America. You live in Charlotte. It's like there's banks. Everyone works at a bank. I remember when I first moved here, I promised myself I would not work at a bank. Because that was like a cliche when I first moved here. You worked at, it was Wachovia or Bank of America when I first got here, First Union, and two of them don't even have the name anymore, right? And then I promised myself I wouldn't work for a bank. And literally one morning I woke up and I worked for another company, wasn't a large company, and I worked for a bank. BB&T had bought us out that night or that, you know, within the past few weeks, no one had any idea. And I was like, that's it. You know, that all of a sudden I do work for a bank. Anyway, going back to the question, did you have expectations on you or your partner that you needed to be like not being an entrepreneur and needed to go work for a big company? Because I think it's a question a lot of people are dealing with right now as they have all these grand ideas of going into entrepreneurialism.
Yeah. So this Alex and I have very, very, very different stories and the way that we grew up. And your question definitely relates more to Alex, and we talk about it all the time. I mean, he grew up in a fairly wealthy family that they all went to the same school, and it was a big expectation, like you said, to go get 4.0 GPA in high school, go off to a top 10, top 20 college. And Alex had that expectation. He originally wanted to go to Duke to be a doctor. And I don't think I think the story was he didn't get into Duke and he had to kind of have a plan B, and he decided to go to Wake Forest and shift into business. And at the time he knew he had to graduate in 4 years. He needed to get a big boy job. And the expectation was to do that, get your internship, go work for a bank or a consultant firm, and then move to a city and get a banking job or, like you said, something like a McKinsey or Accenture or EY for a specific example. And he had a harder time. I laugh about it because his family was like, hey, you're going from Ernst & Young, but now you all of a sudden want to quit and start a laundry business. And we get that all the time. Like, laundry is not sexy. People question it all the time, but then they really dig under the hood and they're like, oh, wow, you actually do have something. Like, this is a big problem. And he had to experience that. I had less time. I had a bigger support. My family wanted me to do what made me happy. And I knew the decision more so than not was to change my life. And I was complacent in sales jobs. And I wanted to test something on my own. And I never asked my family for money or things like that. I always made it on my own. So Alex and I kind of followed that same path. And so it was hard to get the support at first. But once we started, I think that's what really kind of created some leverage on our end too, and some urgency to get this thing right and light a fire under our ass. And that's kind of what happened. So it really just kind of played to our drums on pushing us in the right direction, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think that what's fascinating in that is you bring different people into a company, and let's say it's two business partners like yourself, you're coming from different backgrounds, different stories, different expectations, different pressures, and that's it. And it's kind of balancing all of that to go in the same direction. And it's complicated. It's like a family. It's the family dynamics, right? And you just don't know sometimes how to put it all together, but it's figuring that piece out. And that's why it's dynamic. I mean, that's why that word is so important, I think, in just so many different ways. So Alex comes from Wake Forest, comes to Charlotte. You come down to Charlotte. Obviously, it was a natural market coming from Wake Forest, like you said. Tons of Wake Forest grads here in the Charlotte area. Obviously, a growing city. So it made sense. Did it make sense right away that Charlotte had to be the hub, or at least the first location for 2U Laundry because of those reasons? Or was it the growth, or what else is going on with that?
We get this question all the time. I mean, why Charlotte? Why was it the first one? And again, it was really just because we stumbled into it. Alex happened to be there. I wanted to move out of Minneapolis, and that's where Alex was. I mean, you know, Charlotte, you've been there for a while. It's a bustling city. It's young. It's fresh. It's growing. It's exciting time for Charlotte and really the Southeast in general. And I think we kind of stumbled into a hot market there with that. And so there's no real huge strategy with launching in Charlotte first. It just happened to be a big city that had a lot of people, big suburban market that we thought that the business could thrive in. And at the time, we saw a few other companies on the West Coast raising money going after this quote unquote Uber for laundry model that we didn't like to mirror ourselves off of. And Charlotte, we'd bucket Charlotte in this tier two, tier three type city, where it's a very different value prop in the service that we were offering versus quote unquote the competition in San Francisco or New York, where nobody has washers and dryers and everybody was familiar with a service like this. This was a brand new service to Charlotte. So we already knew we were battling uphill in being in the Southeast, and a lot of people overlook it, but we realized that we had a lot of people who were moving from these markets like the San Franciscos, the New Yorks, New Jersey, up north down to the Southeast just because it's everybody wanted to come live there. It's just the value of living was awesome. So stumbled into an awesome market with Charlotte. We want a position, and we've built our model on cities like Charlotte. We call them the tier two, tier three, tier four cities that are overlooked. And that's naturally how we ended up in Atlanta. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Charlotte. And future markets are definitely within the Southeast. I mean, we're initially measuring them off of size-wise to Charlotte. Atlanta's obviously five times bigger. So we've kind of already hit those success points in a small market like Charlotte and a large market like Atlanta. And now we want to replicate this thing in the 80% of the U.S. that matches those markets. Those are things like Raleigh and Tampa, Orlando, Nashville, Dallas, Austin, et cetera. I could sit here and label off cities. And we're excited about that. And it's the cities that have less competition, and we're kind of defining our playbook, and we're ready to hit the growth button on this year thing pretty soon.
Yeah, well, that all makes sense. I mean, you're picking the cities that it's the blue ocean, right? I mean, it's open. There's struggles with that because it's like people aren't used to it, but I see it. You know, we're in our office and I'm looking out the window right now as cars driving by. I would love it right now if a 2U Laundry truck drove by, but that's the point. Like, I see it all the time. I see it in the neighborhood. It's been growing incrementally, and I think that's it. It's just a little bit more every single day, and you're seeing it. And I think what's cool too is I've used your service, and I know other people that have used it, and there's something about it. And I want to kind of talk about like the marketing aspect of things and getting out there and hustling, because I think the truck driving by is intriguing. It's like, oh, it's a nice truck. It's always clean. It's got the logo. It's recognizable. And then you see the bags, and I've done this. And I think early on when I first did this a couple years ago, they're sitting on we have a bench kind of like right outside of our garage. And I think we put the bags on there, and I just looked at them like, you know what? This looks cool. Like, this is inviting. It's almost like when you get, it's very different, right? So it's not exactly this, but you know, when you get a box from Apple and you bring it home and you're like, man, the packaging is worth it all. And I think like there's something to that, to what you guys are doing with your marketing, that the bags out there, it's not just some cheap plastic bag that everyone else is using. And it's there. And as neighbors drive by, they're probably saying like, what is that blue bag sitting on their bench? And it says, oh, it says 2U Laundry. And that's easy enough to then go onto social media or the internet and look it up and say, what is it that the Kazimovs are doing, right? Or something like that. Not that anyone cares what we're doing, but overall marketing aspects, obviously that played a part, right? You wanted to make a difference. Yep. You wanted to stand out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head there. And like you said, people do care what you and your family are doing. And the world is just incredibly busy, especially with social media on advertising and posts. And I'm not going to say we don't do that, because we do a lot of that. But it really starts with the core product users and the people like yourselves who have the bag sitting outside their front door, who see our vans driving around. I mean, we're a tech-enabled service. Again, I'm going to use it. It's not a sexy business. It's not the Uber. It's not the DoorDash. It's It's not that. That's not what we are. We're a tech-enabled service that's providing a solution to busy families and individuals and solving a core problem. And we've decided that the brand and the quality of the product has to be the first and foremost biggest part of our business. It's the core competency of our business. And if we can't get that right, we're not going to have a business. And a lot of these Silicon Valley companies think that they can just go get $10, $15, $20 million and just go blast it out on to the world, and that just stems a whole other bunch of problems. And we kind of break it down simpler. And I think that's the benefit to starting a business in a city like Charlotte. You don't have all that noise, and that's really what we started focusing on. Was we realized that we start with one customer that gets to two, that gets to four, that gets to six, et cetera, and really making that experience and wanting to make it viral and vocal. And we want people to realize we have high quality bags. The brand stands out, big lettering, bright pink Vans. I mean, we get that all the time. It's like, oh, the pink Vans, that's what 2U Laundry is. And we want to be known for that. And those are mobile billboards that are just driving around the city. And we have about 15 of those in Charlotte now that are all over the city. And it's one of our biggest drivers of acquisition. And that's really what you need. It starts with the brand. I think everybody needs to build a brand and have that mission, that core mission. So and that brand extension has to start from the Vans and the bags and how Eric tells his best friend and his neighbor about it. And that's really what we want to be able to control. And then the website has to be very easy and intuitive to use. And the experience from end to end is really where we focus on. And that's my responsibility. We're obsessed about our business. We're obsessed about the consumer brand that we're building, from the way we wash the clothes, the detergent we're using, to the messaging and copy on the website. I mean, in today's world, you just have to be so variable and dynamic with what you're doing and what you're putting out there, because in realistic, it's you, the consumer, who has kind of control over what 2U Laundry is and who's using it and how people are using it. And I can only sort of influence that through the brand, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, you're talking about this user experience, and you see that all the time, whether you're using an app on your phone or, you know, showing up at a store or getting online, whatever that might be, you have to have this experience, and it's throughout, right? And you talked about the detergent that you're using. I mean, it goes deeper than just what's on the surface. And I think that's important, because like, well, it looks great on out front, but what's actually happening behind the scenes? And I think that's when you can come on a podcast like this and do a Q&A and just have a conversation and just be speaking about it and understanding what it is you're doing and being completely transparent. Because I think transparency is another big thing that's going on here, because then you have social media. Because if, like, let's say you do our laundry and we don't have a good experience on there, I can get on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all over the place. And next thing you know, like you just said, you're not going to have a business. So every experience has to be great, and they can't all be great. And then you kind of overcome that and you work on it to be better. But how has social media impacted your business to date?
Yeah. So like you said, I think social media is a positive and a negative. I mean, there's so much noise, and there's a lot of indirect competitors who want to get access to the wallet share of the consumer. And obviously we're competing with that. There's not a lot of actual true competition in the laundry and dry cleaning space for us, but there's a lot of indirect competition of Shipt and Instacart and Amazon and all these companies who are trying to provide you with convenience. And it's like, the user has so much control nowadays with who and where they're spending money. And it's why you're seeing rewards programs just coming out of everywhere and trying to give users the reason to come back. And that's what really social media has been used for us. I mean, because the world is so busy, you need to get in front of them, and it's all about timing. And Eric's not thinking about 2U Laundry all day, and his wife isn't, and et cetera, but you will start thinking about us at the right time. And you may be scrolling on Facebook or Pinterest at 9, 10, 11 p.m. at night when the day starts slowing down. And that's when we want to be in front of you when the problem happens. And that's really where we strategize around using social media. And we're a very, very data-driven company, especially on the marketing side. And we're always looking at the trends and when people are signing up, where they're signing up from. And that really helps influence our messaging. And the coolest part about social media nowadays is it's so variable and dynamic, where I can interchange out the copy and the images and the timing and what the messages are saying and where you're landing. And just having so much control on our side is just, it's incredible, because money is so sacred to us, and we want to be just the best at spending the right money to acquire the right customers. And that's what social media allows us to do. It allows you to build your brand. You just have to be on social media nowadays. And it's all about the content that you're delivering. I mean, you guys do an incredible job with that and how you're spinning up your business. And it's all about content, and it helps build the value of the services essentially that you're offering. And it's about selling the time for us and showing people what they can do and allowing us to also kind of revamp our social media strategy to be, our mission is to be just quality cleaning experts for clothes. And how do we leverage social media for that? It's like putting out video FAQs and what's the best detergents to use and how do you fold a fitted sheet and things like that, that people actually truly want to engage with and learn from. And I think that's the exciting part about social media is really the brand has to really think through what the reason is and the strategy is with it. And then you just have to go all in on that part of it. And again, I think you guys do an incredible job with that as well.
Yeah, obviously I would agree with all that you said. And I think that's a thing that's overlooked. I mean, the word brand is tossed around so much and it's confused because people think that they can put something on social media and immediately they're going to get a return on that. And it's not how it works. Yeah. I mean, there's lead generation companies, all this. It takes time. It's like, well, we've been doing it for a couple of months. And I'm like, you know, it's just not like that. It's like you said, it's like telling a story. It's giving away. You're showing someone how to fold a sheet that they might never, ever contact you now because now they know how to fold a sheet. But you're going to be that trusted person. You're doing the right things for those people. And they might comment on it. And it's not them. It's Sally and Jane, their friends, that are going to see it. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, that's what I need. And so, no, I think you're spot on. And I think branding is a huge component of it. And it's no different than your truck driving down the road. It's no different than someone scrolling, like you said, on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram and coming across this story, this video, this comment, this whatever it is, this piece of content that you made or someone else left about you that leads them to taking that next step. I think that's fantastic. What I want to get into now is some quick question, quick answer around To You Laundry. It's a fascinating business. It's obviously growing and you're doing a lot with it. And I appreciate you coming on here and sharing the story with us. So what I want to do is, like I said, a little quick question, quick answer stuff, and we'll get you on out of here. Sound good?
Yeah, that works. Love it.
All right. So if you weren't a founder of To You Laundry, what do you think you would be doing right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I laugh because it kind of ties in with what you guys are doing, but I'm a huge fan of Ballers and HBO series. And I love I think I would be a good sports agent. I love sports. I love business and it kind of molds the two together.
Yeah, I think we would agree with that one as well. Now, talking about sports, you know, being from Minnesota, if I were to only give you one sports team to root for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I should say the Minnesota Wild because I'm a hockey fan, but it's the Minnesota Vikings for sure. I'm a huge football fan. Not as happy with how they're performing this year, but I'll always stay true to them and always wrap the purple and gold.
There you go. Well, they had a great year last year. We touched on hockey a little bit. We touched on you moving down from Minneapolis. Awesome city. I remember some years ago, I almost moved there. I had a job offer. It was a little from Buffalo, New York. I think we've talked about this before. My wife's like, you can go there, but I'm not going. But it is an awesome city. Great people. It's always sunny, but it does get pretty cold. Great food, all that stuff. Do you miss Minneapolis?
I do. Yeah. To be honest, it's one of the best cities in the summer. Everyone's active outside, drinking. They're on the lake, on the boat, water skiing, et cetera, et cetera. And there's just so much fun activities to do outside. And so that's when I do miss it. And I obviously only miss it in the winter when I'm on the ice and playing hockey. It's a great city. I just wish it wasn't just so brutally cold in January, February, et cetera. So yeah, I'm definitely go back. I have family there. I have friends there. But it's a fun city, great food. It's growing, a lot of startups.
Yep.
And it's fun. I mean, the people are so nice and friendly.
Yeah, great sports town. I remember going there. I mean, the high school hockey game was bigger than, like you talked about, the Minnesota Wild. I mean, it's amazing the hockey town that is.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right. So off the cuff, and this is a kind of like a big question to take on, but besides your email, your text, and your phone app, what do you think are your three most important apps on your phone right now?
Yeah. So I use Headspace. I use that twice a day. It's a kind of a relaxing, motivating stress app for how hard I'm working. I try and clear the head at night and in the morning. So that's a big one. I use Instagram all the time. So I know that one wasn't on that first three list, but I'm on Instagram personally and professionally. That's a big one for me. And I try and save a lot of time. So I do use Instacart or Amazon. Always shopping on Amazon and then Instacart for my groceries. I'm a creature of routine, and every Sunday I get my groceries delivered and meal prep for the week. And Instacart has saved a lot of time, so I can watch football on Sundays and work while watching football. So
that's what it's all about, right? It's all about saving time. And like the Headspace app, I've heard about it so much and finally started using it, and totally agree. I think it's awesome.
It's incredible.
There was a question that I wanted to bring up before, and I'm going to bring it up now. It kind of fits into this as well. And you were kind of talking about just this industry and changing and not being a sexy industry. And you've used the word Silicon Valley and all this kind of stuff before. And you're talking about how, you know, just laundry delivery service and all that kind of stuff. And dry cleaners have been out. And dry cleaners, you can drop it off. And they actually even do come to your house from time to time.
Yeah.
But you look at, let's say, Blockbuster. You look at the hotel industry. And this is an obvious question. How come they missed this? Like, why didn't a local laundromat, local laundry service not pick up on this, do you think?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And it's really hard to relate to the other business. And it's really, I guess it isn't. It's just all about innovation and who's behind the business. Blockbuster should have seen Netflix and even Redbox coming, and they just couldn't. And for laundromats, traditionally the owners, like I said, it's a non-sexy business, but the funny thing is laundromats and car washes are actually one of the most profitable businesses to get into. And a lot of the business owners get complacent and they're not interested in the innovation, and they're not interested in dealing with people and technology. And so that's what we've struggled with really early on, even when we first started the business and working with laundromats. And we realized really quickly we can't have our business be reliant on laundromats and laundromat owners. And we had to take that and vertically integrate as quickly as possible, because these people weren't willing to innovate. And they wanted to open up their doors in the morning, let people come in and put quarters in, and lock them up at night and collect the quarters. And that's not what we were about. We were trying to target a very different audience, affluent suburban neighborhoods who have washers and dryers. And we needed to provide that brand, that experience, high quality. And we needed to end that whole control from end to end. And that's what we needed to do with 2U Laundry. So we couldn't rely on that just because they weren't willing to innovate. And I think that's where a lot of businesses struggle. You just have to constantly be looking for the next best thing and how to learn. And there's so much information out there to help and influence all of your decisions. And it's just crazy to me that people kind of get stubborn and siloed into their own traditional businesses. And that's really just why you're going to start seeing businesses go out. And unfortunately, that's just what happens. But I think the wave of the future is startups and what we're doing to innovate even the traditional businesses like the laundry space.
Yeah, no, and you said it, innovation, that's it. And you crave it, right? I mean, you have to want it. And I always said, you know, because we talked about before, our business started as an insurance brokerage business. I had been doing that for many years, but I always knew that there was more to it. And I was like, I'm not going to let us be put out of business in an industry that's getting disrupted constantly. And then the marketing business grew as a result of that. But that's it. I mean, and then we start looking at other companies, and even in the insurance industry. And they said, well, we've been doing it this way for the past 20 or 30 years. So for the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to keep doing the same things. And, you know, all you really can say to that is good luck. You know, I'm not here to try to convince the unconvincible, but at the same time, you know, let's see how that plays out. And, you know, it's just don't get put out of business, put yourself out of business, and use that as the innovation for the next step. And, you know, I clearly see it. You know, you talk about the big ones like the Blockbuster, you look at the hotel industry and how come they couldn't see Airbnb coming,
yep.
You know, Marriott's of the world and all that kind of stuff. So it's a fascinating topic. I mean, you can go on and on, write a dissertation about that probably. Yeah. So now looking back at it, you know, I think a lot of businesses didn't give themselves, they made excuses as to why these things happen or didn't happen. But when was the moment you told yourself you needed to make it happen and you gave yourself no excuses?
Yeah, I think it was that moment when both Alex and I went all in. We quit our jobs. We had no plans of paying ourselves. I mean, we put every dime into the business. Every dollar that we made went right back into the business. And we knew that's what it would take to get us to the next level and get us to a point to where we had this vision of, yes, we'd pay ourselves and yes, we'd have a team and all this stuff, but you have to make those sacrifices early. And frankly, you need to put yourself in that really, really uncomfortable position where you're going to do whatever it takes to learn and succeed. And that's what we did with quitting our jobs. And all of a sudden the paycheck went away. And fortunately we were young. We didn't have families. And I give so much respect to the people who are in business and start a business with families and with kids. And I just like, I think I can power through anything, but thinking through that and being able to support a family and things like that, it's tougher. And I know a lot of people are out there who have ideas, who have families, who have businesses, who have a steady paycheck, but honestly, you need to set yourself up for success. And part of that is going all in and having that. So once we quit our jobs and the paycheck went away, that's really when we told ourselves that, like, hey, like, this needs to happen. And like, we're not scared of failure. And there's really no excuses at this point. And it's just really going all in. And we'll find out in 3 months or 6 months that we have something. And once we kind of got that little golden nugget of people signing up and start taking off organically without spending money, we knew, like, let's go all in and let's take this thing to the next level. And that's what we wanted. Alex and I didn't want to build just a Charlotte business. I mean, we want to be the first nationally recognized laundry service throughout the country. And we want to be in 50, 60 cities across the country in the next 5 to 7 years. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're not going to stop until we get there. And we may fail still, but that doesn't scare us. It's really just more motivation on our end.
Well, it's motivating to hear all this. And I think if you're in entrepreneurship, if you're into business leadership, any of these types of things, I think people are going to love to hear your story and hopefully this podcast, because I mean, like you just said, it's motivating. I know for you guys, it's exciting, but it's exciting to hear it as well. It's exciting to talk to people like yourself that are doing what you're doing. And I'm just happy that you're able to spend some time with us. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. So I do want to get you out of here, but really do appreciate you spending time with us, because this is exciting. This is the kind of thing that I think someone can listen to and say, man, I'm going to go out and do this. I'm going to go make this happen. And maybe it's within their own business already. Maybe it's something completely different. Maybe it's just, you know what? I'm going to go and do the activity that I need to do to make something happen. That's what we want people to get out of this. And I appreciate you, you know, really coming on here and spending time with us talking about it. What is the best way to get a hold of you, the best way to get, you know, to contact 2U Laundry, especially here in the Charlotte area? And then I think you have maybe a discount to give our listeners. So let us know that, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, first off, I just want to say thanks for having me. I mean, it's incredibly exciting. People like yourself who's putting this content out there and getting these messages in front of people who need this little push over the edge. And like you said, I love being a resource. What motivates me every single day is people and getting connected to other people and helping people, giving any sort of advice. I mean, my ultimate goal is to be the best resource I can be with information and resources to get people to pursue their dreams, and especially in entrepreneurship. And I'm always open. The email is always open to ask questions, and it goes both ways. And I'm always willing to share. So it's exciting. Best way to get a hold of me, my email is dan@2ulaundry.com. Best way to give 2U Laundry a try and reach out to us. I mean, website, we're actually launching our first consumer mobile app in January. So that's not live quite yet, but just visit the website, 2ulaundry.com. I created a special discount for new customers of listeners. So you just use the promo code KAZ, K-A-Z, and that will give you 20% off your first two orders for all new customers.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate the generosity. And I do appreciate, like I said before, the time that you spent with us. It's very exciting. We're definitely going to be in touch. And I hope, you know, I would encourage anyone that's listening that hasn't used 2U Laundry before to absolutely give it a try. You're going to love it. And your wife or your spouse, your significant other is going to want to continue to use it, because it really does give your time back and make life that much easier. So Dan, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I look forward to staying connected, and love what you guys are doing. So keep it up, and thanks for doing what you're doing for Charlotte and beyond.
You got it, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Dan, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your thoughts on running a startup business to your overall hustle, we're all better off from the time we spent with you. The perspectives from Dan on making it happen are now perspectives you, the business leader, can use for yourself. And for that, Dan, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Dan about their laundry needs, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram @Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our Kaz Source podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. Win all in, play my cards right. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.